Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together in the Gospel according to John, chapter 4. And we will read again at verse 53. Verse 53, "So the Father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy Son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house." This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Perhaps it is especially verse 50 that we, with God's help, would seek to consider. John chapter 4 and verse 50, "Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way." The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. The Lord Jesus had spent 2 days in Samaria. And after 2 days, we read in verse 43, that he departed thence and went into Galilee. He went into Galilee, but not into Nazareth, which was his hometown, his country, as it is as it says more than once in the New Testament. There in Nazareth, in the place in which he was brought up, he was dishonored by the people rejecting his public ministry. He himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Instead, Jesus went into Cana of Galilee, the place where he had turned the water into wine. And we read that the Galileans received him, verse 45. "Having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast." So not long before this, Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, and there he performed many miracles. And a lot of people saw him perform these miracles, and some of the Galileans saw him perform these miracles. Perhaps they were proud that one of their own people had performed these wonderful works. But more importantly, of course, it seems that they were led to credit the claims of Christ. It was a good start, but more was required. You see, we need more than just to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. We need not only to believe that he existed and that he exists, we need to actually trust in the Savior. Assent is not sufficient. Assent is not sufficient. We need to trust. We need to trust in Christ for the salvation of our souls. Where do you and I stand this evening? Do we have faith? Are we looking to Jesus for forgiveness? Are we trusting in Christ to enable us to do his will? Well, we see here in this part of God's Word that the nobleman had faith. He was trusting in Christ. But at the same time, this nobleman's faith was weak, and it needed to be increased. It needed to be strengthened. And the Lord Jesus dealt with him in such a way that his faith was deepened. And we read that afterwards, instead of relying on the miracle, this man, this nobleman, believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him. And then his faith was confirmed by the healing of his son. So, with the Lord's help, we want to look at three things. And first of all, the existence of faith. The existence of faith in the soul, where faith is present. In the second place, the deepening of faith, or the perfecting and increasing of faith. In the third place, the confirmation of faith. Just as this nobleman's faith was confirmed after his son was healed. The existence of faith, the deepening of faith, and the confirmation of faith. First of all, the existence of faith. Again, our text, Verse 50, Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. In this account, we have the second miracle that Jesus performed in Galilee. It was performed after he returned from Judea. The first miracle, the turning of the water into wine, was performed before he went into Judea. And that's what we gather from the words in verse 54. Here is the second miracle that Jesus performed in Galilee. So here was a nobleman. He had a sick child. This nobleman was a courtier or a servant of the king, someone who was connected with the royal household. And being in Capernaum, this courtier, this nobleman, would be connected with the household of Herod. And his son was very sick, even to the point of dying. But the nobleman heard about Christ. Verse 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him. And the report of the miracles that Jesus performed in Jerusalem during the time of the Passover had reached the nobleman in Capernaum. And this made him hope that perhaps Jesus would also heal his own son, who was very sick. So he comes to Christ. Verse 47, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. He beseeches him that he would come down to Capernaum, even though Capernaum was northwest of Cana of Galilee, yet Capernaum was at the Lake of Galilee. So it was coming, it was a descent, it was coming downward right to the lake where Capernaum was. But he asks him to come down to heal his son. And the reply that Jesus gives to him, verse 48, almost would suggest that this man didn't have faith at all. Jesus says to him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. But it is not the case that the man had no faith. He had faith because, and that is proven by the fact that he came to Jesus for that very purpose, that Jesus would heal his son. But the reply is that he had weak faith. Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And we'll come to that later. But this man came out of a sense of need. He felt that he needed Jesus to help him. It wasn't curiosity that led him to Jesus. He had a sense of need. He was pressed down with a burden. His son was sick and he needed help. We see that in his earnest entreaty. Sir, come down ere my child die. Every moment that goes by, my son is getting worse and worse. I need you to come and help. And he actually came. He came to Jesus for that help. So we see that this man had faith. He was looking to Jesus for help. But let us pause and ask ourselves, do we have faith? Do you? Do I? Do we feel our sins to be a burden? And out of a sense of need, are we crying to Jesus for deliverance? What is faith? Faith in Jesus Christ, according to the Shorter Catechism, according to the Bible, faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation, as He is offered to us in the Gospel. Receiving and resting on Christ. What is your hope for eternity? What is giving you a reason to think that all will be well when you come to die? Is it that you're trusting to yourself that you're not as bad as other people? Like the Pharisee who looked up to heaven and said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Or are you trusting in Jesus Christ to take away your sins by His precious blood? Perhaps you say, yes, I think so. I believe that I'm believing. Well, can you give me a reason why you believe that you are believing. It is true that you can know whether you believe by the very conscious exercise of faith, resting on Christ as your only hope. But there are also the fruits of faith. And when you're not sure whether you have faith or not, don't just hope that you're believing. Look at the evidence and give a reason why you believe that you're believing in Christ. What are the fruits of faith? Well, one invariable fruit of faith is love. Love. If you really believe in Christ, you will love Him. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. Is Jesus precious to you? Then there is obedience, a very certain, invariable evidence of faith is obedience, a desire to obey God, a desire to be holy and to obey and conform to Jesus Christ. Then there is the fruit of faith, which is contrition or godly sorrow. It's that brokenness of heart that David speaks of in Psalm 51. Brokenness because of sin, my failings, all my sins against God. Grief of heart it brings me because I offend Him. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. And this exercise of soul is not just in the Old Testament. It is the experience of God's people in the New Testament as well, as the Apostle Paul writes about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. This godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Godly sorrow is an essential mark of grace. You don't have godly sorrow, you're not a Christian. Godly sorrow, sorrow because of sin, brokenness of heart. So if you're asking, do I believe? I think I do. I believe that I believe. Well, let's see the evidence. Bring a reason for faith. And look at the fruits of faith. Is Christ precious to you? Is sin bitter to you? Do you want to obey Christ? The Savior said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, we see here that this man had faith. He was coming to Jesus out of a sense of need, looking to Jesus for help. But then the way that the Lord deals with this man would serve to deepen his faith. His faith was not perfected. It was still in the beginnings. And by the Lord's procedure with the nobleman, his faith would be increased. So we see in the second place, we notice the deepening or the perfecting of faith. Again, the way that the Lord Jesus responded to the man would seem to be a rebuke to him. The nobleman says, come down. Well, and heal my son. That was his request, for his son was at the point of death. Jesus says to him, verse 48, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. It seems to be a rough reply. But in this reply of Christ, He is awakening him. He's deepening his faith, just like the Savior replied to Nicodemus when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he said to him, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus doesn't talk about the miracles. He addresses the immediate concern and need that Nicodemus had, and that was, he must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that would awaken him to that Nicodemus would recognize his true spiritual needs. Well, when the Lord says, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe, He is not slighting the miracles. He's not lessening their importance. The miracles certainly had their place. As the Lord says in John chapter 5 and verse 36, "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." So the works or the miracles, the signs that Jesus performed, their purpose was to attest the divine commission of Christ. It was to prove that the Lord Jesus came by divine authority, that his message was true. And so that brings us to consider, what was the Lord saying to this man when he says, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe"? Why did Jesus say this? What was the rebuke getting at? Well, the Lord Jesus is telling him that it was only because of the miracles that the nobleman came at all. Perhaps it was only the need that the man had that brought him to Christ in the first place. In other words, it wasn't so much the teaching of Christ that attracted him, which is a good mark of grace. It was only the need that he had, and only the miracles that Jesus performed, that brought this man to Jesus. He was among the people that were brought to believe in Christ, first of all, because of the miracles. Many believed on him when they saw the miracles that Jesus performed. Jesus says, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." And others, put it in, contrast it with others' experience. Other people were persuaded about Christ's divine authority through his mere word. That was the case with the Samaritans. They believed the word of Christ without a miracle. We don't read of a miracle that was performed in Samaria, but they believed. They believed, first of all, the testimony of the woman of Samaria. Then they believed because of the word that Jesus spoke. That was the Samaritans. But we read that the Jews require a sign. And so Jesus says, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." And these words of the Savior are pointing out his weak faith. It's referring to the fact that even those who did believe in him were, in general, not prepared to recognize that Christ had unlimited power. Unlimited power. They were not recognizing that. Even the response of the nobleman confirmed it. He says, "Come down before my child dies." Every moment that goes by, we're just talking and my son is getting weaker. It's putting my son at greater risk. But the nobleman, it doesn't even enter into his mind that the Lord Jesus has the power not only to heal his sick son, but to raise him back from the dead. You see, he was not giving Christ the full credit of unlimited power. And it's as if the Savior is telling him that it was the miracles that you heard about that drove you here in the first place. It wasn't any word from me. You were not struck by my teaching, but by the miracles. Such is your weak faith. And you feel that you need to see an immediate connection between the miracle and the performer before you will believe that it can be done at all. The nobleman feels that Jesus has to be there, present with his son, in order to perform the miracle. When Jesus can perform the miracle, even from 16 miles away. So let us apply it to ourselves. Perhaps you are here tonight and your faith is small. Small because you feel that the only way the Lord can meet your need or deliver you from a particular difficulty is by some specific method that you have yourself prescribed. And you can't imagine any other way that the Lord could help you. And perhaps the Lord is not giving you an answer yet. Perhaps he's not going to answer you in this particular way at all, because He will have you believe in His wisdom and His power to help you beyond any ability or understanding that you can devise. God is not limited to our thinking, and we need our faith raised beyond our own wisdom. And the more that we leave the matter in God's hands, the sooner we may expect His help and deliverance. So how we need to pray, Lord, increase our faith. So, regarding the nobleman, the Lord at this moment does not give the nobleman a sign. He's not going to grant his presence in Capernaum. The Lord Jesus gives him a word. A word. And it will be a test to this man's faith, but it will also serve to strengthen it. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And then what do we read? We read that the man believed the word, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. So the Lord raises this man's faith. At first, the man's faith was that which mainly rested on the miracles that Jesus performed. But Christ raises his faith to actually believing the word that Jesus had spoken. Remember what the Lord Jesus told Thomas after finally the Savior was before Thomas, and the Lord says, Reach hither your finger and see my hands and my feet. And so Thomas exclaims, My Lord and my God. But Jesus says to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So this man, the nobleman, was believing in Christ's power to heal his son even while Jesus was absent from his son. He believed the word. He believed the word. And that is the procedure of Christ. While trying the man's faith, he strengthens his faith. See how strong his faith was through the method of Christ, believing the word. And this man is not looking for a sign any longer. He's resting on the word of Christ. So we come in the third place to the confirmation of faith. Here is a marvelous sequel. Believing the word that Jesus said, he takes his leave of Christ. He goes away, and that was token that he did believe. And on his way to Capernaum, his servants meet him, and they exclaim to him that his son lives. Jesus said, Thy son liveth. Now, this moment, and they come to him and they say to the nobleman, the servants say to the nobleman, Thy son liveth. There's one more thing that would satisfy the nobleman's mind. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, he's asking them, so when exactly did the miracle take place? When did he actually start to recover? He's not expecting a full recovery. He's thinking that he's on the way. He's starting to amend. And they say, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. It departed from him. In other words, he's restored. Well, it was a full recovery. And the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. At the moment that Jesus said it, it was the day before now, he knew that at that moment, that is when his son was healed. And so this had the effect of confirming his faith. We read, and himself believed, and his whole house. Well, he had believed before, already. First, it was believing partially on the evidence of the miracles. And then he was believing with assured confidence in Christ's word. And now, he is believing with a faith that is crowned by sight. He actually sees it with his own eyes. His son is restored. But there's even more. Not just himself believed, but his household, his family. And what a wonder that is when the influence of a parent's faith is had upon the children, upon others in the household. As the Lord Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today is salvation come to this house. That's the usual way in the kingdom of Christ. Because God is the God of the covenant, and his promise is, I will be a God to thee and to thy seed after thee, thy children after thee. That's the usual way. Well, this man, his faith was confirmed. He was rewarded. It was increased. He was given further assurance. Just like the miracle of the water being turned into wine had that effect on the disciples at the first time in which the miracle was performed. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. They had believed already, but with the miracle their faith was confirmed. The miracle attested the divine commission of Christ and proved his message was true. So faith receives confirmation. And so it is today. But the Lord's people can look back on their experiences of the Lord's goodness to them, his grace to them. They see the evidence of his power and his love to their souls, and they are brought to trust in him all the more. Well, what a merciful Savior is revealed in the gospel. And friends, when you hear about Christ, his miracles and his method, when you hear about his grace and his power, it should make you want to come to him. It should draw you. You should exclaim, what a merciful, what an amazing Savior is revealed to us in the gospel. And let us be thankful that his grace and his salvation is offered to each one of us again. And he is calling sinners tonight, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Trust in the blood of Christ. Trust in the righteousness of Christ. Because that is why he suffered. The Apostle Peter says he suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Those who reject him, those who turn their backs on him, will perish in their sins. But those who receive him are forgiven. None perish. Let him trust. Well, do we have faith? Do we submit to Christ and his ways? Are we ready to teach our families if we live in a family? Are we ready to set a good example? Let us cleave to God's word. Let us cleave to the word of promise. And remember the example of the nobleman. He believed the word, and he was confident it would be performed. And he could say, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Because God is a promising God, and he will be faithful to perform it. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. May he bless his word. Let us pray.